we have a country that wants to build nuclear weapons and blow us off the face of the earth. And I personally am getting sick and tired of people saying, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? What do you mean, why are we doing this? You think we just picked Iran out of a hat? What have we become here? For me to take a position like this, I'm a warmonger, I'm Israel first.
Mr. Levin, Israel's, Netanyahu's Mossad plan didn't work. We were right.
And was never successful in television at all. Right. And Hannity got him that job on the weekends. It never rated. It doesn't rate now. Nobody watched it just because he's not good.
You guys are reviled. And you want to hitch your wagon up to us and have us go off on your kamikaze mission for greater Israel.
The only impediment, the only obstacle to this beautiful vision is Hezbollah. They want war, not peace. They want death, not life. They will sacrifice as many of you as possible to achieve their sick aims. Don't let your future be dictated by medieval theocrats hell-bent on destroying our common civilization.
The whole world's turned against you. It's time to accept the gains you got blowing up most of Iran's equipment and their proxy armies. And you've got all your industry and per capita, you're the richest country in the world. We're falling apart. You should just shut up and go quiet and hope everybody moves on. But we know you're not going to do that. You're going to false flag to play victim. You're going to demonize your political opposition. You're going to continue to control Congress.
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? No answer? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Who you care about more, the American people or Israel? Well, who do you care about more? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Is it so hard to say you care about the American people who you're here to serve? I'm trying to ask all members I can this question, very simple. Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel?
American people.
You are the first to have given me that answer, sir. Thank you.
Yep. American people, number one, man.
You're going to continue to primary people. You're going to continue to go around terrorizing everybody with the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's just, it's going to end in total disaster. I'm like the FBI with a bullhorn talking to the bank robbers that have got hostages saying, you're already in a lot of trouble. You want to spend 20 years in prison or you want to have the SWAT team come in?
Come on out, sonny.
And then even if you survive, you're going to end up on death row at a Supermax. Come on. Come on out. Come on. Put the gun down. Come on, Ben-Gavir, Netanyahu. Nope, stop it. You can stop doubling down now. You have somehow taken the Islamics that used to be the most unpopular people in the world and turned them into victims. What a spectacular job you've done. You know, Israel prides itself on thinking long term. Well, you've not been thinking long term or second, third, fourth, fifth order effects. Because if you did, you'd listen to all the former Mossad chiefs that are living and almost every former top general. They've all gone public for over a year saying Netanyahu is going to trigger a giant war that will end up destroying Israel. So for all of you Israel worshipers, you Christian Zionists and you low-grade moron Zionists and all the rest of you idiots, if I really had it out for the Jews and I really wore secret Hitler underwear, I would be egging you on right now and telling you you're doing a great job. Napoleon said never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. Well, I'm not your damn enemy. I am an enemy of your psychotic leaders that are out of their minds and who know that if they don't keep a war going, they're going to prison. And I don't like being held hostage by Ben-Gavir and Netanyahu. You like being held hostage by them? You got Stockholm Syndrome? You just go be mentally ill over there. But get out of our way.
Attack rapidly, ruthlessly, viciously, without rest. However tired and hungry you may be, the enemy will be more tired, more hungry. Keep punching.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Well, 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 it's another beautiful day in Hell World, also known as the U.S.-Israeli Empire, also formerly known as the United States of America. I'm Rex Jones, your host for today's War Room episode. We've got a lot to get into. I've kind of got like a smorgasbord, I guess is the word, like a neocon roundup, you know, kind of on the heels, no pun intended, of Lindsey Graham. We want to cover more of these swamp creatures and expose them and also talk about that pervasive boomer spirit that I comment so often about. But before we do that, the news of the day, what you need to know day one, minute one, Trump apparently has canceled the strikes. He has canceled the war. He has tacoed yet again and says it's not going to resume. Let me go ahead and read the tweet to you now. Or truth, which is just, you know, it's like putting a hat on a hat. Based on the fact that discussions with the Islamic Republic of Iran have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved, I have, as president of the United States of America, canceled the scheduled strikes and bombings against Iran this evening. So this all comes on the heels of them saying there's going to be hundreds of strikes for weeks. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. Well, what happens? We've already expended more Tomahawk missiles than we're going to make this year. So it's all just a complete farce. Anyway, discussions and final points have been, in both concept and great detail, approved by all parties involved. How many times have we heard or seen or felt, I guess, kind of like in an emotional way, like a astrology or something, the signs have told us there's going to be a deal. He's told us it's a done deal. Like 13 times was the number that I saw last month. So let's just take a pause from this for a second. Because covering the war, even just covering this for a second, is exhausting. Where is your mind supposed to go? What conclusions are you supposed to draw? If you look back at 2020 through 2024, we also had a crisis. We had COVID and the subsequent failed economic recovery under Joe Biden, right? You can look at that time period and go, man, you know, we weren't getting any information. You know, Biden was in the bunker. You know, he was using the auto pen and whatever. It was like Anthony Blinken and Kamala Harris and all his people scurrying around, managing everything, running everything. We're like left with like a vacuum of information. So we're trying to like feel things out like a blind man. So we're paying very attention, very careful attention to everything, right? Now it's just like a clockwork orange where your eyes are propped open. I mean, literally, I came in here yesterday. And I was like, hey, Scott, I need like all the latest Trump tweets or whatever. He gives me a stack of paper like this thick. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm just like, well, I guess that's the TV show that people want to tune into. But we've got Trump canceling the strikes. Apparently, I'll read the rest of the tweet. Let's get that back up on the screen. Approved by all parties involved, including the United States, Israel. And if you're a real MIGA, if you're a real MIGA, make Israel great again, you say it like this. You don't say Israel or Israel. You say Israel. Okay. I-Z-R-U-L. All right. You want to be a real MIGA. That's what you got to say. I-Z-R-U-L. It's been approved by Israel, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, Turkey, Pakistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt and others. The naval blockade will remain in full force and effect until the transaction is finalized. Time and place of the signaling to be announced shortly. DJT, President of the U.S. Now, let's hear what Levin had going on last night or today or most recently. Let's go to the Levin clip. We've got some audio here I want you guys to listen to because we can say, oh, it looks good. Trump has backed out. Well, you know, his friends, people he says are real MAGA, real MIGA, if you will. They're not happy when he doesn't go to full thermonuclear war. Go ahead and play the Mark Levin clip.
Now we have a country that wants to build nuclear weapons and blow us off the face of the earth.
We are
and
a country.
I personally am getting sick and tired of people saying, why are we doing this? Why are we killing people? What do you mean, why are we doing this?
Why are we killing people in a legal war of aggression? I don't understand.
Mark, that's what we think, bro. We don't understand why all this is going on. Go ahead and play it again.
You think we just picked Iran out of a hat?
Yes.
They've told us what they want to do. They've killed Americans for half a century. They've tried to assassinate our president and other officials.
So are we to believe that Thomas Crooks and the other guy who was like a Ukrainian recruiter who's bringing like Afghani migrants in, are we supposed to believe that these are Iranian sleeper cell terrorist agents? Or, you know, are we just supposed to accept the fact that Trump says, attempted assassinations against me and whatever, we're just going to write that off. We never heard anything more about Thomas Crooks now, did we? Ask yourself that question. What's really going on here? What does Mark Levin not want you to think about? Mark Levin wants you to think about some war in the Middle East that we have to fight because the evil Muslim terrorist will build the nuclear weapon and they'll use their space program to build an intercontinental ballistic missile and they'll launch it at the United States. You got to look at this from like the cui bono perspective, like who benefits, right? Like who gets something out of Iran nuking or trying to nuke the United States of America? For Iran, it's terrible because they're all going to be dead because we would immediately launch a retaliatory strike and take them all out. We wouldn't care anymore, right? So why would Iran, a country thousands of miles away, a regional power with its own interests, why would it want to nuke the United States of America all the way over there when that ensures its own destruction? Simply put, they wouldn't want to do that. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy that we, the U.S.-Israeli empire, want. We want them to try to develop a nuclear weapon or to try to raise one up or to try to acquire one in some way so that we have that excuse for Israel to actually be let off the chain, or excuse me, Israel to actually be let off the chain to do what it wants to do with its Samson option, its targeting. It's got over 300 nuclear warheads. All right, they don't have to declare anything. They're not signatory to the NPT. The irony is Iran is. And that's the funny part. Israel doesn't have nuclear inspections. Iran had nuclear inspections until we pulled out of the JCPOA. Who did that? Trump. Now Trump wants to go back to terms that are less favorable than the JCPOA. And that's what all this really comes down to when you really start to think about it. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'll touch on it again here. It's all about he can't be beaten by Obama. It's like this sick thing that he's got where he's like, if I give up more money than Obama gave up, if I make more concessions than Obama, then I'll be seen as weak. No, bro, you'll be seen as a hero if you just leave, just declare victory and leave, please. Everybody wants that. I was talking to my co-host about this morning on New American Journal. Y'all definitely should watch that show, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. I'm live. I was live this morning for 3 hours and now I'm here with you. I was talking to him about this. And he was like, yeah, you know, I really don't understand it. I really don't get it because, you know, we look at Trump from a very critical, harsh lens. I really, really immensely dislike Donald J. Trump after he betrayed everything that I voted for him for and supported him for my entire adolescence and young adult life. But, you know, if he declares victory and he goes home, like Ken always advocates for, if he does that, Donald John Trump is a lot harder to criticize, you know, 30 minutes after he makes the call telling Netanyahu to F off. But for real, not a fake one, right? Not a one where I go, Daddy, I'm so upset. I'm so mad you hit me. I promise I'll work harder on the strip. Like, it's not a call between the prostitute and the pimp. It's a call saying, hey, your financial aid is over. Hey, your reign of terror is over. Hey, the genocide and ethnic cleansing we pay for, it's over. It's done. That's all he has to do. All right. And it was looking like up until recently, until the strikes resume, that's what he wanted. Now we're flip flopping back all the way over to him wanting the conflict to be over and him saying there's an immediate ceasefire and they're not going to do strikes anymore. Now, is that because Iran is coming to the negotiating table or is that because we've lost over 40 aircraft in totality of this entire operation? It's highly likely, although fog of war, I can't make any claims here sitting in Texas thousands of miles away. It's highly likely that we lost multiple aircraft yesterday. Very, very highly likely. That's what they said they targeted. They said they targeted the F-35s, the F-35 hangars. It's a giant mess. And we have very limited resources, and the resources we have are very expensive, and maybe we don't want them all to get blown up before we get into some massive world war with Russia and or China, which is what the neocons seem to be spoiling for. And the effect, like the whole thing is the IMEC corridor and the Middle East, West Asia being critical to China's land expansion because we're choking them in the sea. And you can look at Trump and his recent concessions where he's really differentiated himself based off what prior presidents have said about Taiwan. Now, let's look at that for a second and examine that. Just look at a little bit of history there. So the United States, since like 1973 or 1971, has acknowledged like a one China policy. They've acknowledged Thailand or not Thailand, Taiwan as part of mainland China. Now, prior to that moment, why did we back Taiwan? Well, Taiwan was the place that Chiang Kai-shek went to after he lost the battle with Mao Zedong, the communist leader, of course, that y'all are all familiar with, right? So that was the American faction that we backed and we supported. Our official government policy in order to be diplomatic with China is like, yeah, on paper, we recognize it, but we give these people money, like the defense systems, munitions, of course, because they make all the chips. And it's literally like, if anything happened to that place, the modern world would basically cease. Everything that is highly advanced from a technological perspective, everything in this studio has chips from Taiwan in, right, for example, and everything high tech that you own does too. So Trump has said, well, you know, maybe it's not as firm as it used to be. And he's been really soft on Taiwan after that visit with President Xi. Now, why is that? Maybe that's because he even realizes he can't fight all these battles at once, which is why, to get back to my original point, he just needs to declare victory and go home. Go back to Levin.
Fascinating, Ivanka Trump. We're the United States of America. We're going to sit on our asses for this? What have we become?
What have we become?
What have we become?
What have I done? I've gargled the president's balls.
Now, this war was begun. It's been a spectacular war. The casualties have been minuscule.
Pause it. Yo, yo, yo.
It's been a spectacular war. The casualties have been immense. The American blood that's watered the ground, 16 and a half gallons, 13 dead, is absolutely amazing.
Like, these people are cartoon characters from the nether regions of hell. Go ahead and go back to them.
Family and every casualty, it's everything. I understand that.
I understand it.
But Hezbollah killed 241 Marines in their barracks. That's Iran. Hezbollah killed over 100 of our people in two embassies in Africa.
Pause. Well, the U.S.-Israeli Empire flew planes into the two towers during 9/11, or at bare minimum allowed it to happen and made sure the towers fell down, and they killed thousands of Americans that day, so shouldn't we be mad at them too? And aren't they the ones that get the benefit from waging this war? And aren't they the ones that have bankrupted this country and put us in $10 trillion of debt? If we're supposed to be mad about that, you know, incident from however many years ago, can't we also be mad at that other incident and not back those people? Like, this guy's not an American. Like, my dad says it, he wears like a woman's brooch. That's not putting down women. I love women. Women are better than me. But like, he wears a woman's brooch and a giant American flag pin. It's like he's trying to signal to somebody who's like a deaf, blind, and dumb that he's an American patriot. That's how fake he is. Faker than a $3 bill, as my dad loves to say. Go ahead and play it. Liberal.
I can go down the list. We lost more people by not taking on Iran than we are by taking on Iran.
Pause it. Who's we, Migga? I didn't lose anybody. Like, you know what? Like, I didn't lose anybody. Like, explain that to me. I'm over here peacefully. I'm voting against the war. Trump takes us to war and we do lose people. We lose our American soldiers, of course. But before that, I'm not losing anybody. I'm an American. I'm not an Israeli. Who is we, Mark? Who is we? Who is they? Who is we? Because when we ask that question, we get in trouble. He says it all the time. Explain that to me. And I was having a very interesting conversation this morning about, you know, American identity and what it means to be an American and why we put that above everything else, right? So you could say, hey, you know, I'm a white American, I'm black American, I'm brown American, Asian American, whatever you're going to say. That's like our core identity, right? That's what we put above everything else. For like, we believe in the Constitution, we believe in God, we believe in family, we believe in our country and our descendants having a better life than we had going forward. That's the American ethos. That's what it means to be an American. Now, if you asked Mark Levin who he was, he would say he's an American Jew. Okay, he wouldn't say he's a Jewish American. He'd say he's an American Jew because he prioritizes that identity over the rationality and sake of our country. And that's not me being anti-Semitic. I'm an octoroon. I'm allowed to say whatever I want. Okay, people have been making, you know, Nazi comments at me ever since I was a little kid. All right, I had a high school teacher, Mr. Perkypile, who played a video of Stuckelnacht, the Night of Broken Glass or whatever, and pointed at me in class and said, you and your father are Nazis. You're like Hitler. You're worse. And I was like, well, damn, man. Okay. And then, you know, I'm in elementary school. I'm getting people showing me websites of, you know, my face and my family with the Star of David over it. And I'm like, well, that's not really cool, man. So I've experienced it from both sides of the spectrum. But I do have to say, why is it that you're allowed to hate white supremacy, hate La Raza stuff, hate black Hebrew Israelite stuff? But then why is it gangbusters to say, okay, well, like, you support Zionism, which is literally Jewish supremacy? Why is that the thing that can never be criticized? Why can't you call that out? Why can't you call that out in government? Why can't you call that out in war? Why can't you call that out in the world right now? Like, that seems to be what's going on with Mark Levin. He identifies we as Israel. Well, I'm sorry, bro. I'm not Israel. So I really don't care. Go ahead and go back to him.
What have we become here? For me to take a position like this, I'm a warmonger. I'm Israel first.
Yes.
Don't put our kids on the line. Our kids are not on the line.
Yes, they are.
We have no draft. We have no ground forces. I don't know how else.
Pause
it. How much cleaner?
Pause it. I love the idea that people that enlisted under Trump because they thought he would be a rational commander in chief now have to wake up to the hell reality of, hey, you might get shipped off to go die in Iran, and a lot already probably have, you know, these young recruits that probably trusted that Trump be a better commander in chief. But then you're supposed to accept that. That's fine. I think that's disgusting. I think Mark Levin's a pig for saying that. Play him again.
Good God.
I'll be right back.
Mark. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go to Mike Johnson now. Should Congress have a vote before Trump strikes Iran? Johnson says, I have to go take a photo. Okay, so more running away, more obfuscating. This is why I talk to Jose Vega and others that do Man on the Street reporting. This is why I do it myself. It is so important to just put a camera in somebody's face and ask them the question. So let's go ahead and go to that Mike Johnson clip really quick, if we've got it. Mike, it's clip 7.
And I think he's communicating directly with our adversaries over there. That I would not put too much stock in the details of that right now. In the middle of this important.
Would you? Yeah. Should Congress have a vote before he does that?
Got to take a photo here.
Okay, so that's cool. You know, our elected officials, they just run away from questions. Now, keep in mind, Mike Johnson is one of these people, you know, they get pulled into the room and they come out with a completely different opinion. Mike Johnson was like, yeah, you know, we need to figure out the Ukraine stuff and see what's going on there. Immediately comes out saying, we got to support everything they got. Because that's what all these people are. They support endless war, murder, and genocide, whether it's Israel doing it, whether it's Ukraine doing it, whether it's us doing it in Syria, backing al-Julani, whether it's us backing it all over Europe, helping people ship in the new population, the replacement migration, all of it. That's what they all support. It's a giant Borg. They're not unique individuals. Like, I'm sitting here in the studio, and I'm trying very hard to do the news, but I've been live for 3 hours already today. And I'm live that way because I think what I do is critical, and breaking down the news and explaining these metaphysical concepts to people is super important. They don't understand what it is to connect with another human being because they live in the Truman Show. That is what it has become. Imagine you're on Capitol Hill and you have the ability to do insider trading on Polymarket and Kalshi. You can do prediction market betting. You know when the war is going to start. You know when the attacks are going to hit. You know who's going to die when. Imagine you're able to bet in the stock market as well. Get tips, insider trading, you name it. When they get questioned on, hey, shouldn't this be illegal? Shouldn't we ban this? The congressional people just laugh. We got to have candidates that are serious about banning that, as well as age limits and term limits, ladies and gentlemen. So you're living in the lap of luxury. You're in D.C. Your wealth has increased by like 250x. Some of these people, you look at Pelosi, pull up some of these net worths. Right. Like before and after they got in, Pelosi and her husband, of course, the stock guy, of course, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Basically, everybody that goes into the Congress or the Senate, they get a sizable increase in their pocket. You know, their wallet gets a lot heavier. And you have to ask why that is. It's because it's a pay to play system. It's because we don't live in a system where you, based off merits, intelligence and credibility, you can go compete with these people. You know, we got people trying to change that, but I got to say, I'm going to talk to James Fishback about this because I think he has the best chance to do it. And he's coming on next in the second hour of the War Room. You want to stay tuned. You know, you look at a Mark Lynch. He's a phenomenal candidate. He should have won in South Carolina. You look at Thomas Massie. He won 75% of the vote last time. He should have won there, too, right, in Kentucky. But they both got swamped. Now, you can say that's voter fraud. You can say that's the influence of the boomers. You can say whatever. The fact is, independent candidates, you know, they seem to be having a really tough time. And I say independent candidates, these people are running as Republicans, but they're excluded from their own party. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me a lot of 2016. That reminds me a lot of Donald John Trump and what he used to have to go through, what he suffered through. The stuff that made your boy a fan, bro. Like, seriously, the stuff that made me think this guy is a renegade, this guy is cool. I'm listening to Fox News learning how to drive with my granddad in the Jeep. And, you know, he's trashing Marco Rubio. He's trashing Ted Cruz. He's coming after the establishment, the swamp, saying, hey, your wife's a dog. Hey, little Marco, get off the stage. Nobody wants to listen to you. Incredible stuff. And then now, as a 23-year-old, however many years that is later, I have to sit here and watch him cozy up to all the people that he taught me were bad and gave me reasons why they were evil. And then he tells you, you're not MAGA if you don't support it. So that's where we are. It's pretty insane. Mike Johnson runs away from questions. I got 2 minutes left. I can cover a little bit more. You're going to want to see the clips I got coming up. I got to play in honor, I got to say, Owen Schroyer versus Gavin McGinnis boomer debate. This is phenomenal. I just did a boomer debate the day before yesterday. It was also incredible. That'll be released soon. Of course, I've done the boomer streams before where I interview the boomer and find it in its natural habitat, which oddly enough, where the old people want to talk the most, it's around the young people. It's like they want to play unk, right? I always talk about the notion of playing unk. I comment on that often on Twitter. It's very interesting, but I'm going to be doing more of that, and that's going to break tomorrow, so you're going to want to see that when it drops. You're going to want to follow me at Rex Jones News on Twitter. And on Instagram, need to build up the Instagram. Please follow me there as well. Rex Jones News with a Z. We've also got Gray Area Talks, which is kind of the marquee show that I do with my co-host Tim Tompkins. That's Thursday and Sunday, 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, of course, the Daily Morning Show, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The American Journal, New American Journal. Change the name. You can't sue me. Ha ha ha. The New American Journal is live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single day. Easiest way to find that. It's in my ex profile, but I've got a Linktree with all the links over there right on my ex profile. Like I said, you're going to want to support me and follow me over there. Just come on in. The water's fine. We're having a good time over on the social media. So thank you so much. And you want to remember to support thealexjonesstore.com. Do not forget, you know, maybe I need some. Maybe I need it. Where's it at? Maybe I need my capsule methylene blue really quick. You know, it wouldn't be a proper show if the InfoWars host didn't take some methylene blue. And the amazing thing about the capsules is that they won't turn your tongue a different color. They won't make your tongue blue. You can just take it and get it down right there. And bing, bang, boom, it's done. This is the best form for travel, in my opinion. I brought the liquid with me in a plane. I didn't tighten the cap all the way. I do have to say that was a mistake. We got all kinds of deals for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. When I come back, I'll have a lot more news. I'll have that boomer reaction clip that you want to see. And then we got James Fishback joining us at 4 p.m. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of fun. Thank you for letting me host. I really appreciate it. I was live earlier today. I'm a little tired. I got to wake up and take the methylene blue. Hell yeah. I'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that going bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And on the
let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital chains, the mark of the beast system, and a dovetail with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he could dissolve Parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to the top economist, a great patriot, Dr. Kirk Kelly, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle-affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record, the biggest company, because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation. They can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God
the numbers
always
are
gives
telling
his
us.
People a way out, but the people perish always. For lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast. When he talks about it in Revelation, he's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. We'll call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you could have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
Coming in here, I really do struggle with like imposter syndrome. It's very difficult for me, you know, watching this all my life, to be here in the studio today as a host. And I'm always questioning myself, you know, I hold all these people in such high regard. My father, Harrison Smith, Owen Schroyer, people I watched and really studied and learned from so much. And to sit here and to be in their position today, you know, I get a lot of people online that say, "But boy, what have you done? What have you ever done?" I've just been here forever. I'm kind of like the Forrest Gump of alternative media. That's kind of how I think of myself in a way. I've just, you know, I've been around. I've met a lot of these great historical figures, in my view, in the new field of alternative media, alternative broadcasting, whatever you want to call it. New media, we are the media now. So I just want to say to the people that have known me for a very long time, the people that saw me as a little kid, you know, filming the reports and all that, I was always very nervous to put those out. I was always very nervous to do that. I always had a hard time and I always beat myself up in the studio. And that's what I was doing a little bit in that first segment. I have so much I want to express to you guys, but beyond anything, I just want to express gratitude, because without you and without your support throughout the years and all the positive feedback I've gotten and constructive criticism, I really wouldn't be here today. And it really is like a family journey that we've all taken together. And the clip I'm about to play in reference to this, the Owen Schroyer, Gavin McGinnis clip, you know, it contrasts two ideals to me. It shows me somebody that kept evolving, somebody that kept going forward, somebody that, you know, had a, you know, their political architecture wasn't crystallized in their mind, versus somebody who kind of lost storage space and lost the ability to learn. Of course, I'm talking about Owen Schroyer and Gavin McGinnis. Now, if you didn't know, I think his name is Brandon Straka. He's the walkaway guy, a former Democrat, if you may remember. I think back in 2018, he launched his whole kind of campaign to get people away from like the bad liberal left wing side of politics and more into GOP right wing, because it fit with ideals and values more. However, he's also a principled anti-war individual, among many other stances. So he put this debate together between three Zionist boomer types. I think they had Eyal Yacobi, Gavin McGinnis, and whoever else. And they had Owen and then some other people on the other side. I want to show this to you, and I want you to see what I'm talking about here. I want to illustrate this for you. The concept of the spirit of the boomer. Now, I'm not sure when Gavin was born. Maybe he's Gen X. I don't know. You don't have to be a boomer to be a boomer. This is what I always say. And this is why I say, like, I respect my elders. I really do. I honor my elders. But at the same time, if you're voting for the past 50 years and the dominant voting bloc in America for the past 30, and for the past 19 years, they've had Congress and the Senate locked up like that, you know, and 60 out of 99 senators are boomers, and they voted for Iraq, Afghanistan, and now the Iran war to continue, who are we supposed to criticize? And the key thing I want to illustrate to you, and I won't tell you until this is over, there's an Easter egg here. Once I give you more context, you'll understand. I think you'll get it from the outset. Let's go ahead and play the video.
If this becomes a war, then I'm off the Trump train. Give me a chance.
But what are the metrics of a war, Gavin?
I'm not talking if you interrupt me again.
Well, you can't just say,
yes, I can. Of course I can.
So what is a war? All right, pause it. We want to stay at the same spot in the video. Notice the anger. And I've debated the quartering. I've debated Andrew Wilson. I've debated Rylan and Twitter Spaces about this. The absolute outrage and indignation that you don't believe that the war is going to end on whatever perceived timeline they have in their mind. And everyone that's a neocon, everyone that's walking in that neocon spirit, they got that same energy. You talk to them about the war with crisis and panic and fear in your heart, because you know what it means for you and your family, and you want them to stop voting to kill us all. And they literally smugly will laugh at you and say, well, kid, life is in living color. Well, kid, all the presidents are bad. Well, kid, I'm not happy with Trump, but have you seen the Democrats? Have you seen the Democrats? That is the most ridiculous cop-out, and every time I hear it, it makes me throw up in my mouth. Okay? What about the Democrats? What about the Democrats? What about the Democrats? That's lesser of two evils BS, dog doo-doo. I can't say the full word because we're on radio. That's lesser of two evils, false dichotomy, false paradigm. Somebody set that up. Okay? And I am tired of identifying as a donkey or an elephant or as a porcupine or as a whatever. No shade to libertarians. Don't know why I just threw shade at you. I'm sorry. But like, I'm a human being and I'm an American patriot and you are too. Gavin, as an American patriot, why are you so outraged and you have this level of indignation when somebody's questioning you on pro-war policy that you clearly hold? And the thing that all these people try to do is they try to pretend they're neutral, right? He goes, well, I'm against Trump if he goes this far, that far, does this, that, or other thing. And you look at him and you say, my MIGA, you cannot be serious right now. Like, listen up, okay? When you punch somebody in the face, you don't then get to go walk away and say, conflict's over, it's all good, you know, we did our strike and we're figuring things out. He didn't take it well, he didn't like it, he ain't gonna do nothing. That's not what happened. Gavin, is the Strait open or is it closed? Gavin, did 13 Americans die or did they not die? Gavin, did we not use all our missile defense and interceptors to defend Israel, not ourselves, and we had to take them from Japan and South Korea? Now, that's how bad it is. And you get angry? You get angry at Owen for asking you a question? It's the spirit of the boomer. It's the neocon spirit. I interviewed Gavin a long time ago when I was 17. I got to put that out. He came to the Washington, D.C. Airbnb that we were at, and he had a giant thing of a Budweiser or whatever he drinks under his shoulder, and we had a great interview. He's a great guy. I really like Gavin. I wish he wasn't a neocon war hawk. All these people, they're making excuses later on in the interview for Epstein and stuff. I'm not saying Gavin is doing that, but certain people on the panel are. And Gavin is like, he's a pervert. He's a pervert. No, he's a pedophile. Okay? And he ate little children and he had a demon island. All right? And anybody that says, well, Michael Tracy taught me on Twitter that redactions actually mean there's nothing there. If I had a tarp and I had a dead body under the tarp, and I said, well, there's a tarp there, so you don't have any proof that anything ever happened, and get off here because it's my property. You don't deserve to see it. You'd be like, what? We know for a fact you have a dead body under there. We've seen the evidence you have a dead body under there. The foot is sticking out. But no. Epstein apologetics. That's the hot thing. All these people are doing it. It's super weird. It's almost like it's a government psyop meant to get you off of this, just like the war. Notice how we're talking about the war, not talking about Jeffrey Epstein. Notice how we're talking about support of the war instead of the Epstein files. This is all a program designed to distract us. Go ahead and play him again. Play him again, if you can.
Stop for two
okay,
seconds,
I didn't realize. I'm sorry, that was tough. I didn't realize the level of F-bombs that were in there. I swear I thought that they were blurted out. I apologize to radio stations. Really do apologize. But again, like, that's the level of, like, false righteous indignation that they have about even being questioned. And I think it is truly, truly, truly disturbing. Now, let's go ahead and look at this full clip from a Fox and Friends interview. Let's cut to Donald Trump this morning kind of bragging about what's been going on.
States will be hitting Iran with whose Navy, Air Force radar, anti-aircraft, and all other forms of defense together with most of its offensive capability are gone. We're going to hit them very hard tonight. At some point in the not-too-distant future, we will be taking Karg Island and other oil infrastructure points and assume total control of their oil and gas markets, much like we did in Venezuela, which is working out brilliantly for both Venezuela and the United States.
So let's bring in Mr. President. He is on the phone with us right now. You can see the crude oil prices. They're at about $90.72 a barrel. Mr. President, thanks for joining us. So you say you're announcing you're going to hit them very hard tonight. What went into posting that?
Well, it's just one of those things. They have no defense. They can't do anything about it. The only thing they have is fake news. You know, they have the New York Times write stories like they're doing great, and they're not. They've been wiped out. CNN and that MS Now or whatever they call it nowadays, NBC had to get rid of it because it was bad for their reputation. But the publicity that they have is incredible. It's almost like they're doing well and they're getting decimated, just decimated. And they're dying to make a deal. They want to make a deal so badly. But, you know, you read the New York Times and you read the Wall Street Journal, which is so fake. Yeah, I mean, I know you guys own it, but it's
pause
a real
it.
Piece of garbage.
All right. You just heard him reference all these articles. Oh, they're so fake. Oh, they're so much garbage. But you own it, right? He's talking to Fox News. He's referencing Fox News and the greater conglomerate. Can we pull up who owns Fox News really quick for people so they can understand who owns all the media now? Just to make it clear. Just give everybody a full explanation. You're owned by the same people. One of them is lying, vermin, evil, covering things up, aiding and abetting Iran, whatever Trump is implying there. And then y'all are the heroes. Y'all are all good. Y'all are not fake news. Do you see how it's all a panopticon? Do you see how it's all a kaleidoscopic maze, right? Because you got Axios, you got Reuters, which of course are the CIA mouthpiece publications. You got like Daily Beast, Daily Mail, New York Post, which are kind of more like topical, left and right, meant to distract you. Pop culture, fake magazines, the new version of the type of media BuzzFeed was back in the day. Now moving forward, you look at all this stuff. It's meant to distract you. It's meant to keep you off balance. And that's what it does to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as Barnes and my dad were talking about, reportedly just watches Fox News all day. We knew this when the war started originally. They just show Donald Trump montages of them blowing up things with drones and missiles and whatever. And then he kind of just sits there as like the first iPad kid president and gives his rubber stamp to all of it. And you're like, that's not what I voted for. I voted for a dynamic, magnanimous leader who's going to go in there, cooperate, make deals with other countries, project true peace through strength, and bring back manufacturing, low inflation, and low energy costs to America. Like, that's what we all thought we were voting for. We didn't think we were voting for the guy that was going to obsess over Fox News and, Wall Street Journal and New York Times articles instead of running the country. Go back to playing him.
The Wall Street Journal, it's like...
And think about that really quick.
Today about,
just think about that. I know you guys own them, right? Like, I know you own them. I'm sorry for criticizing them. I know that you own them. Like, is that not, it's just all the emperor has no clothes. Is any of it real? Is the government real? Is the mainstream media real? Are these people even real? Is it all like that guy that was on Fox News or whatever and had like the, look at my neck. Like, people were complaining. People were talking about the show yesterday. They were like, he didn't button his top button. Rex needs to button his top button. He has to dress right. I can't button the top button. My neck is too big. Okay, but you can see I'm not wearing a mask under here that I can peel off. Pull up that guy really quick. And this is what I mean just by everything being a little too weird. And I talk about this on my morning show all the time. New American Journal. I'm live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. weekdays. And then Gray Area Talk, 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Let's see if we can get this guy showing up. Because we just look at this as young people. And both of my co-hosts are young people. We look at this and we go, what is going on here? But I guess it works if you're 80 years old and you watch the TV all day. And that's what Donald Trump is. Look at this. I don't know what's going on here. I know that it's fake. I know that that's a Halloween costume of some kind, even if it's CIA designed, right? You want to tell me that that's real? You want to tell me that Trump is the peace president? You want to tell me I got to pay higher taxes, higher prices at the pump, and higher inflation costs because, oh, we got to win the glorious victory. They can't have the nuclear weapon. And then they have people come out to you wearing CIA face masks on TV, and they tell you liberal, 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 support the war in Iran, or you're a Democrat. We're smoking crack. Go back to Trump.
We're not hitting them hard enough. I mean, it's just not hitting them hard enough. We dropped $250 million worth of bombs on them last night. You know, it's, the whole thing is crazy. But and they're really in submission. They just don't know it yet. Okay, to be honest with you, they just don't know it yet. And we are talking to them and all. But, you know, look, my preference has always been take Karg Island. That's been, Brian knows that. I spoke to him a long time ago. Lawrence knows it. I spoke to him a long time ago. I said my preference would be that. I don't know that America has the stomach for it, to be honest with you. You're going to make a fortune. But I don't know
Pause
that
it.
America has.
All right, so he's about to imply that he might and will possibly probably send ground troops to take Karg Island. And he's saying, and, you know, Americans don't have the stomach for it, referring to us in the third person, not including himself. He's not including himself. He has the stomach for it, it seems. He seems to be seriously considering that. That's what I take from that statement. That's actually kind of bone chilling. You know, I played that this morning. I knew I needed to play it again. I forgot why. Wow. You know, we'll make a fortune. We'll make a fortune when your sons and daughters die because we tried to do another Iwo Jima. We pulled it up yesterday. Didn't we lose like a... whatever the number was, I think it was 7,000 killed and 20,000 severe casualties or whatever it was. Pull it up again. Lindsey Graham famously says, and I played it yesterday, don't play it again, if we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this. Sadly, that seems to have rubbed off on Donald Trump. Go back to the Trump clip. Let's listen to more of his garbage.
I think they'd like to see us come home, but we did it with Venezuela. Venezuela's worked out great for everybody. We've taken millions and millions of barrels of oil out of Venezuela. We brought them to Houston.
Pause
and various
it. So in Grandpa Trump's mind, in Unc Trump's mind, in Grandpa Glyphosate's mind, he believes that, you know, because we're able to topple some sort of like a tepid narco state that's in our own hemisphere in under 24 hours, that we're able to do that, that we're going to be able to defeat a country of 92 million Iranians who have been prepping for a war with us since we backed Saddam Hussein in the brutal Iraq-Iran war that cost them 400,000 people. That's on par with what we lost during World War II. You think they forgot? You think that they remember? You bet your ass they remember. They remember all of it. And when people say, they say death to America, they say death to Israel. Well, of course they do. 400,000 of their people died in a war that we backed Saddam Hussein and supported. In fact, that's where the chemical weapons of mass destruction hoax comes from, because we knew Saddam had them and used them on the Iranians because we gave them to him, right? That's why having knowledge of history is important. Trump is literally, I can't believe this. This is what I talk about imposter syndrome. I can't believe that I know things that Trump might not know historically. Right. After he's been alive, you know, 60 plus years longer than I have, I can't believe I know more about warfare and tactics than Donald Trump. Go play him again.
Louisiana, where, you know, refineries that we have that are incredible. They're going 24 hours a day, making a fortune. And, you know, I like that in this case, too. But I'm not sure that America has a long time you know, it's a little longer process, that's a guarantee.
All the nice words, it's a little longer process, it's a detour, don't worry, Patriots are in control, they'll always signal to the Q-tards out there, and all of this garbage. You have to keep in mind, he's talking about, or he's going to talk about further on in the clip, he's going to go on and say, we seized their oil, nobody knows about it, not even Iran until now, but we took everything they had, we seized it for ourselves, let me tell you. It's literally 2% of the normal traffic in the Strait. And all it does is equalize what we've sent out to other countries from our strategic oil reserves. So it's literally a nothing burger. It's literally a stopgap. It's Trump and the whole of the United States, the whole of Uncle Sam, sticking its finger in the dike as you see like the cracks, literally like a cartoon, start to appear against the wall. Trump's like, it's fine. I've got my finger in the wall and it's not going to fall down, believe me. And Mark Levin is like Humpty Dumpty. He's on top of the wall. He says, I am Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men put me up on the wall. The wall will never fall down. We will achieve infinite victory. Hurrah! Ah, Israel first. I'm Mark Levin. I'm a real MIGA. Like, that's what Mark Levin would say, and that's what Trump is doing, and then the wall's going to fall down anyway, and you look at it, the Israelis are the most screwed out of everybody. But somehow, they're the ones that want the conflict the most, and I said this on the show, and I didn't realize this until about a week ago, I can't believe that a lot consider Netanyahu to be a moderate. Okay, and they want more. They demand our draft. They demand we die. They demand nuclear weapons be used. All of it. And you can look at Jonathan Pollard as an example of one of those factions. I didn't realize how prevalent it was. Go back to Trump.
Do it.
Mr. President.
But I'm not sure the country has the appetite for it. Does that make sense to you?
I understand where
you're... As good as it is. By the way, as good as it is, that's always been my number one thing. But as good as it is, I'm not sure the country has the appetite for it. And that's okay. I understand that.
I mean, what you do is you came to power because you said America wants to win and you win. In 2020, more.
Look at this. Look at this conflation here. You say you came to power because you wanted to win. You wanted Americans to win. Lower taxes, lower inflation, no new wars, you dumb MF-er. Seriously, Brian Kilmeade, you dumb son of a B-word. Like, I can't say that on air, can I? But like, seriously, though, look at him there, sitting there on the casting couch with everybody else, being a paid prostitute stenographer for the regime. President Trump, you're known for winning. That's why people voted for you. Not because you promised no new wars, not because you promised to release the Epstein files. You're a winner. Isn't it important that you win in Iran instead of lose? And then Trump is so old and so tired and so gone that he goes, well, I guess it's important that we don't lose. I guess I have to bomb more women and children. More civilians have to die. Go ahead and play it. It's Kafka-esque. It's macabre, right? Like, I would do a much better job interviewing him than the preeminent interviewers in the world. Think about that. Play it.
In the history of the Republican Party. So when you look at this, this seems to be like an anaconda. You're laying the groundwork and just subtly squeezing them more and more and more until they have no options. One of the hits yesterday, as our audience probably knows,
he's squeezing them until they don't have any more options. Ayo, pause, Unk, chill with that, maybe. Go ahead and play it.
They were already running out of water. So if you can continue to blockade, and now you're taking down their eyes and ears.
Pause it.
You're...
Yeah, 20,000 Iranians without water. Isn't that nice? We target civilian infrastructure. We commit war crimes because international law doesn't exist anymore. Isn't that cute and cuddly?
Well, President Trump, you've already destroyed the water. You've already...
That's the problem. That's why the war has escalated again, you dumb son of a bastard. Go ahead and play him.
Oh, you're not playing games. And the rhetoric that's been coming out of them for the last 8 weeks really looks hollow today.
Well... Brian, if you can hear me, I think you can.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I will say that...
Pause it.
You mentioned...
And listen, the reason why I'm shaking my head, I need to explain to people, you just heard something that was critical of Trump, and I'm critical of Trump too, so you're like, damn, shouldn't you agree with him? No, he's saying you need to win, you need to go in, you're not going in far enough. Go ahead and play it again. Unbelievable.
You're right, in 2020, I got more votes than anybody in history.
And see the stroking of the ego and all of that, the Trump worship. You're the guy, Trump, you're the man. I would tell Trump he's effing up. And that's because I care about him and the country, Not because I hate him and want him to go die for some reason. I want him to wake up and change. Donald, I know there's no way you'll ever hear this or they'll let you hear it. I am 23 years old. My father credited me, Rex Jones, with swaying him towards your side in 2016. I was your biggest fan, your biggest supporter. You were my hero, man. Why are you doing this? Why are you letting them kill little kids in Gaza? Why are you letting them barbecue little kids in Lebanon? Why are you letting them bomb schools in Iran and bomb power plants and bomb infrastructure and bomb bridges? Why are you letting them do this? Why? Explain this to me. You told me when I was a boy that you hated death and were anti-war because of that, and I believed you. What is going on? Why did you do this to us? Why did you betray us like this? Why? Is it just for the money? I guess it is. I guess that's the honest take on it all. It's just for the money, right? It's just because you want to be liked by all the rich people that play golf with you, right? You couldn't even stop to spit on us, right? Well, I guess he did. He attacked my father, Tucker, MTG, all of them, Candace Owens, in a tweet. You know, I guess that's the thanks we get for, you know, being Olympic water carrying champions for you for 10 years. We thought you were amazing. We actually believed in what you said. I pulled the cross out of my shirt and got people to vote for you the night that the assassination attempt happened. Never heard anything else about the assassination attempt now, did we? We were all passionate about figuring out who tried to kill our president. But our president didn't care. Maybe that's because it was part of a ritual or blackmail, or who knows. It's all a little too weird, right? But Trump, I know that you'll never hear this, but maybe you will, the off chance, or somebody around him, or somebody in the family, or somebody somewhere. Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to kill the entire planet? Why are you trying to bring on another COVID? Why are you trying to initiate another World War III, World War IV, World War V, whatever you want to call it? Why are you doing this to us? It is what we voted against. Do you really think that you can hide out in Mar-a-Lago and the golf courses and all around the places of the rich people in the world when everybody's dead and dying and nobody can eat? Jared Kushner and Ivanka are not going to be safe and happy in their bunker. They're going to be sad and scared, and they're going to realize they destroyed the earth because we actually want peace. We don't want wars. And once you start, you don't get to say we stop. And once you agitate these foreign powers, once you say, hey, if you don't acquire a nuke, we're going to kill all of you, do regime change, do whatever. You're pushing us in the direction of World War III. Why are you doing this to us? You were the anti-war president. You were the peace president. You were the peace candidate. You wanted the Nobel Peace Prize. What happened to that? Now it's all about victory. Whose victory? Americans aren't winning. My friends are dead. My friends are broke. My friends are angry. My friends are pissed off because we're not going to have a future because of people like you. People like the boomers who just write us off. We pay for everything. We pay for your entitlement programs, your Social Security, your Medicare, your Medicaid. We're never going to get it. We pay into it. It's the biggest wealth transfer from the poorest segment of the population to the richest in human history. And Trump is the first boomer. It's the first year of the boomer. So again, if one of y'all is watching, why are you doing this to us? Can we please just stop? Can we return back to liberty and what you promised originally, the message of 2016 and beyond? Or is it truly all a game of banging heads? Because if that's the case, there's no point in living except to fight against you. I'm Rex Jones on War Room. I'll see you with James Fishback next segment.
Tonight at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat! If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.